Hello, it feels so good to be back. I am Selena Justine, and welcome to my new show, Blissfully Ever After, A Gal's Guide to Life, aka GGTL. In this podcast, you and I are going to navigate the exciting transition into the next chapter of our lives, from faith to marriage, my goodness, to babies. We are going to cover it all. Together, we're going to toast to this next chapter. So cheers to today's dose of inspiration. Hey guys, today I am bringing Josie Teeters onto the podcast. Josie is a pastor and a wonderful leader at my church, and she's here to help us uncover the impact of faith on personal well-being and spiritual fulfillment. Enjoy today's conversation with Josie and me. The reason for today's episode and why I'm so grateful to have you here is a friend of mine had reached out to me, and we hadn't spoken since 2020. And just because we've all, you know, we kind of went our own paths, she moved to a different state and whatnot. And she had just randomly texted saying that she really wants to focus on her growth in her faith this summer, but that she felt it a little difficult on where to start. And she was asking if there was like any general practices or devotionals or even like a particular Bible that I would recommend. And she was so cute in saying like, I don't expect you to like fix this for me, but she just wanted just some guidance. And so I was sharing with you previously, I feel like she's not alone in that. And there are certain seasons that maybe we feel that way, or even we're just getting into our faith walk in general, whatever that looks like. I just was so inspired by her courage to even reach out in that aspect.
Definitely.
And just to really dedicate this episode to her and to other women alike, because I've been in that place where I'm like, I have that hunger for the Lord, and I see that in her. So I would just love for us to just delve into that. And like I said, there is no judgment in that. And no one is better than one in their faith walk. We're all on this journey together.
Absolutely.
I would just love for you to share with us from your perspective, like the importance of this journey of our faith walk and its impact on our personal well-being and just fulfillment in life in general.
Absolutely. It's such a great topic. And I love what you said about there's no shame in needing guidance and direction in it. I believe we all need people in our journey of life, because if we want to be strong for the long haul, mm-hmm. we need people around us. And so I'm a big believer in the three different areas, our body, soul, and spirit needing to be strong, all three areas. And so that really, for me, has looked a lot like learning in all of those different areas and getting around other people who have excelled in those areas and learning things from them on what they've done, and then done my best to apply it to my life, and then had to sometimes tweak some things along the way. But it's necessary, all three of those areas, in order to be strong across the board. So I look at things like self-evaluation as a really big game changer for me. I started self-evaluating a few years ago and really looking, like diving deep into different aspects of my life, even asking myself questions like, why do I think that way? Mm-hmm. Where did that thought come from? And really breaking those things down to figure out the roots of things so that my life can be changed and transformed, and I don't get stuck in old patterns and old ways, because I want my life to be limitless. And I'm seeing the changes by challenging my thought life over my journey.
Mm-hmm. The intentionality behind it, sort of thing.
Definitely.
When did you start implementing that?
It's probably been about 5 or 6 years that I really started learning about how to self-evaluate. And in terms of self-evaluation, it was approached to me about self-regulation, because I can be an extremist. So I can take self-evaluation and actually go to a very unhealthy level of it, because I want to fix every single area and I want it done overnight. And then when it doesn't happen, I'll get frustrated and throw in the towel and quit the whole thing. And so when I learned about self-regulation, just really regulating those different areas of growth and just taking one step at a time, that's when I started to see those big changes. And I learned that there really is no such thing as balance all the time. We're going to have days, we're going to have weeks, we're going to have seasons that are busier than others. And so I used to strive for balance, and now I strive to just have some self-regulation and really examine each day as it comes and what God has for me in that day and how I can get better.
Yes. So are you asking him, like, give us a moment of what that might look like? Are you going to him in your quiet time and asking, in which areas can you self-regulate? Or what does that look like on a practical everyday basis for you?
Yeah, great question. So for me, typically, right when I wake up in the morning is my thoughts are flooded first thing in the morning. As soon as my eyes open, it's like every and any negative thought that could possibly come my way starts to flood my mind. Mm. The anxious thoughts of everything that I have to do in the day, all of the stuff that I should have done yesterday, maybe some of the conversations that need to be had that are a little bit more difficult, or, you know, what mistakes did I make the day before? Anything negative, I feel like instantly floods my mind. It's like the enemy tries the first thing to just get my mind focused on anything but the Lord. And so I have learned to not even get out of bed yet until I can say some things that I'm grateful for, some things that I'm proud of myself for, some positive things about the other people in my life, and just take a minute to talk to the Lord and say, okay, where did some of these negative thoughts come from and how do I turn them around? Because I don't want to just get rid of a negative thought, because if I'm just getting rid of it, another one's going to pop up if I'm not filling it with what God says and what his word says. Right. And so taking those negative thoughts to him and turning them around for what his word says has been a big game changer for me.
Wow. So when you started, so prior to you doing that 5 years ago, what did that old Josie look like? Mm. Were you just running with those anxious thoughts throughout the day?
Yeah, my life was, I was not leading my life. All my thoughts were leading, my emotions were driving me. And so I would go hours before I could, you know, have a positive thought, or it would take extreme intentionality to try to refocus, because I feel like the longer those thoughts go on in the morning and into your day, the harder they are to turn around. And so it got to a point where I was able to start recognizing it sooner, to now I know I'm not even getting out of bed until it happens, because I don't want to waste any time throughout the day. And that's what I was doing. I was allowing the enemy to use my mind like a playground. Mm-hmm. And just going along with whatever he was putting in my mind. And I was feeding that instead of feeding what God says about me.
That's powerful, because like you said, it is a waste of time. Mm-hmm. It's like the Lord has blessed us with this day. And as we all know, we all have the same amount of time in each day, but how are you stewarding that time? And that's something the Lord has really shown me, actually starting since January this year, is he's been highlighting the word stewardship. And he's like, all right, Selena, when I bless you with something, what are you going to do with that? And that, I feel like we think of oftentimes money when it comes to stewardship, but it's time. It's right. How you're investing in your friendships or relationships, your home. How are you stewarding the home you've been given? Even if it's not your dream home yet, this is a stepping stone to that.
Absolutely.
And so I just encourage you listening, because I think at least when I was living for the world, I would have never thought of, I'd even know what stewardship meant. I hadn't. And an idea, none of it. Yeah. And even though I grew up with my faith, I wasn't an everyday practice of it. And it really is it's a difference of mindset and heart posture for sure. I would agree that I too used to kind of let my emotions run the day.
Right.
And there's a lot of pressure on that, a lot of self-pressure, because then you're leaning on your own strength to get things done. And your to-do list just seems so busy and not really actually intentional or productive.
Right.
And so now that I actually just talked about this with my boyfriend yesterday, we had a really deep talk, and I said, you know, there was this silly, and I say silly because fear, I'm learning, only comes from the enemy. Right. And I know that's so obvious, but sometimes it's like those blatant statements. I'm like, oh yeah, that's not even God. And it was exactly. Like this wake up call for me. Yeah. And anyway, so there was this fear that was attempting, like it was like a bubble, like going around in my mind. And I thought I could just burst that bubble by just saying, like, I don't have to come into agreement with that. And I don't have to let that run my present or my future. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the past, I was actually working around that fear. And that was the leading force.
Right.
So it's just such a difference. And so I just would like to give that word of encouragement to the woman who is like hungry for the Lord and seeking that next step. Is it really like, yes, it's not this religion. It's not just like, okay, let me do what I have to do and mark that off the list. Mm-hmm. Like this is a literal renewing of the mind, as he says in his word. And there is the fruit of that, that you will start to see in your everyday life, just from like your internal state of being. There's like this newfound peace.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah. I want to protect that peace at all costs. I want to protect it.
Because I know what it felt like to not have that.
Exactly.
I'm like, no.
I'm not going
I'll
back.
I'll choose this one. Yeah. So that's really what I have found so much delight in these recent seasons is he is only love. God is only love. He's only peace. He's only these wonderful things. And so when you start to understand that, and I say that again, because although I quote unquote grew up Christian, like I didn't know those things. And so that,
me neither.
Right? It's like, I wish somebody had shared that with me prior. Like I knew he was this good thing, but he felt so far off the distance. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh no, he's actually right here. And he genuinely wants to give those good things for me specifically and for you specifically. It's not just like this overall general covering. Like there's that too, but it's also so individualistic.
It is.
And so, yeah, it's really about building that relationship with him and enjoying that intimacy with him and not just like a check off the religious list.
Yeah. And you mentioned that word intimacy, and that mm-hmm. has probably been the biggest thing in this past year that he's worked with me on, is going to a deeper level of intimacy. Because when you talked about stewardship, and I'm going to tie the two together, mm-hmm. How stewardship's not just about money, it's about relationships. And I was actually really good for the most part in stewarding relationships really well, but I wasn't good at taking care of myself and stewarding me.
Wow.
And so I felt like if I were to do that, that would be, you know, arrogance, or, you know, we're supposed to take care of everybody else. But really God has shifted my perspective in, we're supposed to steward our bodies well. We're supposed mm-hmm. to steward our minds well, our thoughts well, because if we want to be used by him to reach people for him, we've got to be at our highest and best. And so I was finding that I was tired all the time, feeling burnt out, stressed out, because I was so busy stewarding everyone else and meeting everyone else's needs and not taking care of myself, that I wasn't going to be capable of doing what he has called me to do in the long haul if I didn't change that perspective. Mm-hmm. And so now I've learned that it's healthy to take care of ourselves. It's a good thing. It's not a negative, arrogant thing to take care of ourselves, but it's actually necessary. Because he's given us our life. It's a gift from him. And so by doing that, it's actually caused me to be able to see that he does love me for me. And he wants an intimate relationship with me. And it's not about, like you said, the checking the stuff off the list. Mm-hmm. I used to read my Bible just to check it off my obligatory list for the day.
Yeah.
Now I read it to hear his heart mm-hmm. and see what he wants to share with me and just be able to sit in his presence. Is beautiful, rather than having to be so busy running around for everybody else all the time and feeding my identity by, you know, I only felt like I was worth something if I was giving something to someone else or doing something for someone else. Mm-hmm. Now I know that I'm worth everything because I'm his daughter and I can just sit in his presence and be with him. And that's so important.
Yes. And yeah, you're right, because I remember years ago, I would just literally, which is not bad, at least I was still reading the Bible, but there was a different heart posture about it. That's what I'm getting at, is mm-hmm. my heart posture was like, okay, let me just read one verse before going to bed. And then it's like, okay, now I could sleep peacefully because I did that thing. But now it's like, no, I actually, it's like, it's such a desire. I get giddy. I get excited. Like, oh, I want to see what's mm-hmm. in there today. Or, you know, it is a different intentionality behind it, or different intention behind it. But, you know, I love that you spoke on protecting ourselves first and foremost, because I do believe that is something that the regular, but I guess the church in general, or maybe religion has taught, is like, yourself is dead last. Like, you have to put everyone first. And yes, we should have, we by nature have a servant's heart when we're filled by the Spirit, but there is that still aspect of like, you have to fill your cup up first before you can.
Yeah. You got to have something to give.
Right. Right. Yeah. So it's not like there is that harmonious balance, I should say. Right.
Yeah, it's an interesting mix because, you know, the Bible talks to us and teaches us to die to ourselves and to, you know, serve others, and all of it's absolutely part of what we're called to do. It's necessary to fulfill the call that He's placed in our lives. But we can't do those things unless, one, we're self-evaluating, and two, we're hearing from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And when we're running and we're busy all of the time, just going about doing and checking off stuff our list, we're not actually taking time to hear from Him. And that's where I was at. I figured, well, if I was just serving everybody all the time, then that was good. And He was saying, no, there's so much more. There's such a greater level. And so now when I'm able to self-evaluate, I can see those areas that I still need to die to myself, whether it be fear or pride or manipulation or whatever those things are that we need to work on to be able to rid them from our lives. And we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. I tried on my own. It doesn't work.
You and me both.
So when we're in partnership with the Holy Spirit, we can die to ourselves at the same time, taking care of ourselves the way God's called us to, so that we can give and serve others at our highest and best. So it's an interesting dynamic that just leaning on the Holy Spirit, He'll show us and guide us. It's not this some science confusing thing that we're never able to figure out, but I believe that He shows us in steps so that we can draw closer to Him.
That's right. Yeah. And there was a moment, well, I should say a lot of moments, because there was a time period, actually probably my whole life until like just very recently, where by nature, I do have a people-pleasing tendency for sure. And there is beauty to that, but also there could be toxicity to that. And definitely. So that's where I have been really practicing of like, okay, I want to give, but kind of same thing. Like, I need to first give myself. And so anyway, the Lord had sat me down. This was just in April, so very new. And I built out this contract for myself. And there's so many other reasons as to why He helped me do this. But one of them was He was showing me that I was expecting certain people to fill certain parts of my life and my heart, which was not fair for them. They didn't even know I had this expectation on them. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, that's not fair to do. And also that's ungodly, because I'm expecting them to fill me up when only the Lord can fill us up. Of course, people are add-ons and the cherry on top, but the Lord is our foundation.
That's right.
And so one of my first commitments on my contract to myself was, I commit to filling myself up first before I can go to the next person. And then I just wrote down tangible items, what that looks like. It's like getting the word, doing this, doing that, because the Lord says like, we can take His yoke, and His is light, ours is heavy. So I give it to Him. So when I do that, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I actually legitimately have seen the fruit of that. And there will be moments where it tries to come up again, and that frustration with other people or whatever. And then Holy Spirit was kind of just like, no, remember, like, it's all good. Yeah. And I kind of just take some deep breaths in those moments. And it's also realizing like, Holy Spirit is our best friend. He is with us everywhere we go. And we're allowed to ask Him for wisdom, for teaching, what to say in the moment. And He is our nurturer. And so I'll just call upon Him and be like, Holy Spirit, I just like need some comfort right now. Instead of like thinking that this person next to me can read my mind, that I want him or her to do this or that. Yes. So that has been very sobering of the mind. Yeah. But I think that's so good.
People aren't called to meet our every need.
Right.
You know, that was a big shift in my marriage when I stopped expecting my husband to meet every single one of my needs. Yeah. He was not created to meet every single one of my needs. And so when I did exactly what you were talking about, when I shifted that and said, okay, Lord, You are the one that fulfills me every area of my life, and really grabbed a hold of that, and stopped expecting other people to. I had, just like you, I had unrealistic expectations of other people, and they had no idea as well.
Right.
But we do this, and we're not even aware that we're doing it. And mm-hmm. so until we come to that place of recognizing it, we can't change until then. So now I look for those things. I look for, you know, if I feel myself getting frustrated, and that's part of the self-evaluation, and why am I getting frustrated? Am I expecting someone to meet a need that they're not even supposed to meet? And I've even shifted my thought process and my expectations when it comes to the Lord, because if I'm setting specific expectations, even in my relationship with God, I'm setting them and they're my expectations and I have the box all set and nice and pretty with a bow on it. When really, if I just have an expectancy instead of specific expectations, God, I'm not limiting God to my own mindset and what I think, how everything should fit. Mm-hmm. Instead, I'm just saying, God, I have an expectancy that you're going to show up and you're going to move in this situation. And then I'm not tying my cooperation to him based on my limited perspective of something. And
right.
So I'm seeing that change quite a bit by just having that open expectancy. And so that's something my spiritual mentor has been teaching me the last several months. And it's been quite the shift for me.
I like that a lot because, and that's so new for me to even hear. We often hear open-mindedness like out in the world and with those other spiritual things. But I like that. Do you get what I'm saying? Like,
like
a worldly view of open-mindedness, but to have an open mind with God himself, that's
his
huge.
Things, his ways. Yes.
Yes. You're right. Because I've so done that. Like, especially like I love 21 days of prayer. That is one of my favorite times of the year. And I tell that to all my friends. And so it's a time of fast and prayer that we do at our church here in January and August. And it has always been such a powerful time for me, and I know others as well. But there have been moments where I'm going in expecting to hear about this one particular thing.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen, I'm like, oh, well, he didn't hear my prayer or some
meanwhile,
silly
thought. He's not answering because he knows what's best for us in that. And we think he's not answering, but he's actually maybe purposely being quiet on something or not answering it on purpose because he knows what's best.
Yes.
But yeah, my prayer list often has been my own expectations of what I think God should do in the situation rather than just saying, God, move your ways. I know you're working even when I can't see it, and just trusting. But that comes from a place of our relationship with him deepening so that we can surrender that list and not be held tight to it. So we can be able to trust that he's going to move even if things don't work out the way we think or the way we would have done it, because his ways are always better.
Mm-hmm.
His plans are always better. And that place of trust and surrender only can come from the more time we spend with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't do that before. I couldn't surrender the people, the situations fully to him in my life because I didn't have that deep level of trust for him because I wasn't spending time with him. So it didn't make sense. But now as that relationship has grown, that surrender becomes so easy.
That's
and
true.
It's so sweet.
Yeah.
And it's necessary. I don't know how I did it before without.
I know. You and me both. So I'm curious, what would you tell, like, let's say my friend was right here on the call with us right now. And just what would you share with her? Like someone who, like, let's say knows kind of about God, but just speak to her.
Yeah. So And I can only speak to what I know has worked for me. So I know, you know, everyone's different. And so not everything that worked for me will work for someone else. But a couple of the things that really helped me develop that relationship with the Lord is some disciplines. And the Bible talks about that discipline comes before the delight. Mm-hmm. And I know that we talked about reading the word before and it being obligatory. And we would read the verse and kind of check it off the list. But there's something to be said with that initially. So even scheduling time consistently every single day to start developing a discipline in your life. You know, we get in the regimen of our habits, and quite honestly, we live our life out of our habits.
Mm-hmm.
And if you actually took a look at your life and what was habitual, you would be shocked that the majority of your life is actually habitual. And so building that habit of involving him in your life is critical. And once you start to do that, he shows up, even though it's based out of developing a discipline at first. I feel like he recognizes our heart really is because it's, we want to get to know him better. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I found to be very helpful is setting an alarm clock throughout the day. So I actually have multiple alarms that will go off throughout the day with different specific things, whether it be reading, whether it be working out, whether it be listening to a, you know, an Audible book, whatever those things are that are important to you to start, start building a routine and a discipline out of them, because there's freedom that will come from those disciplines. I read a book once that talked about discipline, and the author wrote, "You can't trust someone who has no discipline in their life."
Wow.
Because they've lied to themselves thousands of times. And so the weight of discipline became very significant to me. And I realized the more disciplined I can be in my life, the more freedom I actually have. So yes. I would encourage her to start with some disciplines, start planning out some of those things in her day, what's important to her. So if it's worship, schedule a time. Like, we don't miss a dentist appointment if we have it scheduled.
That's,
we don't
so miss true. Appointment
because it's scheduled. It's in our calendar.
And you respect that appointment. That's right.
So you don't want to dishonor, and you definitely don't want to get charged by the dentist. There's a consequence attached to it. How much greater the consequence for us in our lives do we go without when we don't have that time with him?
That's so good. Actually, I have here, I'm at my desk, and I wrote down three sticky notes. I'm going to kind of move, I don't want to knock everything over. Let me move my mic so I can, you can hear me as I read it. One of them says, "Father, thank you for helping me appoint my days." The other one says, "Father, thank you for helping me to make an appointment with my destiny."
Yes.
And then the third says, "Father, thank you for helping me write things down." And I can't take credit for those. I actually got that from Janet. She's our worship leader at the church. And just for those listening, and from her devotional, I saw them, like, that is so good. So now I have them just to know, like, I see it every day. It's just like a self-reminder. So it's been helpful a lot.
Yeah. Well, you're keeping it before you.
Yes.
And so if it stays in front of you, it stays important, and it stays something that you continue to develop. So I'm a visual person. I have visual stuff all over the place. If you could even see the board in front of me, I have notes and things all over the place. I have things that pop up on my phone on a daily basis. One just says, "Did I see God today?" Because I believe that God is revealing himself to us all throughout the day, every day, all day long. But are we even stopping long enough to look around and see his goodness? So I love the fact that you have that there. That's great.
Yes. And so let's kind of get into, I'm curious, how would you, okay, so again, for her listening, for the woman listening who's new to this or newer to it, when you said to set a time apart for worship, what if she's like, "I don't know what that means. Like, what do I do with that?" Yeah. What is, how can you best explain that?
That's a great question. So when it comes to worship, that's part of that, spending that time with him. And really, it's the most simplistic way that I can describe it for myself is it's just putting ourselves in that place of having gratitude, that attitude of gratitude, of all of the good things that we have in our life. We're very quick to point out all of the negative things that are going on. But when we're intentional to be grateful for the, you know, we have a roof over our head, the bed, I mean, even the most basic things, having a bed to sleep in, having air conditioning, because we live in Southwest Florida. Thank you, Lord, for air conditioning. Like, all of those things. There's actually an extremely long list. And so if someone's new to worship, I would just say start thanking God for those things. So giving him praise. So that's part of it. So it's praise and it's worship. So I'm praise him and thank him for all of the blessings in my life, not just the material things, but the people, the growth in my life that I've had, and the different things that God has been bringing in, whether it be finances or resources or people. I just start to thank him. And then the more we get to know him in his word and we understand his character, that he is a healer, he's a restorer, he restores relationships, he redeems us from the pit of hell, he makes our lives new. So the more that I know about his character by reading the word, the more I can worship him for his character and who he is.
That's good.
Because I don't ever want my relationship with him to be based on things. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be grateful for things, but I also want to spend that time worshiping him for who he is. And the crazy part is, Selena, when we worship him for who he is, it actually stirs our faith up. Because when I start saying, Father, I praise you because you are my healer. My body is strong because of you. Father, I thank you that you are my redeemer. You have redeemed my life from the pit of hell. You have made me new. Like, there's something that happens on the inside of me that I'm so stirred up and filled with faith that I can't wait to get out there mm-hmm. and conquer the world for him and mm-hmm. do his works, because my faith has risen as I'm worshiping him. So even though we're worshiping him, he makes it where it even benefits us. It's so yes. beautiful.
Yes. And what would you say about being at church or even in the home? Because we'll see, and this is the beautiful thing. Everybody worships differently, like on the physical, like outside appearance. So some will raise their arms, some are more reserved, and that's A-okay. Yeah. So I just want to talk about that, because, you know, it could be intimidating to see everybody with their arms raised, eyes closed, like in their own zone. But let's say they're just like not feeling it and they feel awkward or uncomfortable. What would you say? Like it is okay to not do that, right?
Yeah, I'd say it's about you and your relationship with the Lord. Honestly, anyone else around you in a church service really doesn't matter in that moment. And so I can find, even for myself, that it can be distracting sometimes when there's so many people around. So I will, me personally, I'll close my eyes and just even kind of put my head down and just try to picture myself mm-hmm. before him mm-hmm. and how loving he is and how kind he is, and just picture him and just picture me with the angels worshiping him, and just kind of tune everybody else out, because I want that moment to mean something.
Yes.
I want it to matter. And so if I'm worried about what other people are thinking, here's the thing. When we're worried about what other people are thinking, about whether we have our hands raised or not, or if we're kneeling, or if we're not singing, or if we're singing too loud, whatever, they're actually concerned about what other people are thinking about them. They're not actually worried about you.
It's so true. So, it's the same as being at the gym. It's like exactly. Nobody's looking at you. Everyone is so like thinking about themselves or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if we just tune all that out and just say, all right, Lord, I'm here for you today. Mm-hmm. And I want to transfer from him. I want him to be able to be free to pour anything into my life that he wants without me blocking him or limiting him based on, you know, my thoughts going in other directions. I just want to be focused on him.
Yes. I'm reading the Sozo book right now, and there was a part in the recent chapter, and it went along the lines of saying, like, our praise and worship is almost like our secret handshake with him.
Yeah.
Because it's so personal to everybody, to each person. Imagine like being with your best friend and making it your own handshake. Like, it's just right. That was so sweet to me to visualize it that way.
I love that.
Yes. So what about community? Because I know we know the importance of that. Whereas, like I said, before I even moved to Florida, this was just, let's say, short of 3 years ago. I didn't have community like I have now. And when I tell you my entire life is different since my community, like, I mean that wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying like a good faith-based community with women and men who have the same mindset and goals right. that are kingdom-based or Christ-based is so different than just having like friends like here and there in the world. So mm-hmm. how would you discuss the importance? And honestly, I would even say it's so vital. That's the word. Because when I was in California, of course, the friends that I had out there, they're good people, but they were not believers. So therefore, it was hard for me to grow spiritually in an environment that was not feeding that same mm-hmm. those same seeds. Whereas now all my friends are believers, and it's like we constantly are feeding and growing each other in that and supporting each other's growth and doing those things together, reading the Bible together, whatever that looks like. And I have just grown exponentially with that. So if you could just touch on that.
Yeah, I love how you say about faith-based, because I believe we are supposed to reach people for the Lord that don't know the Lord.
Yes.
However, I do believe that based on where we are at in our process and our journey with the Lord really dictates who we can or cannot be around. So for example, there was a friend of mine I had years ago that, because in a relationship and a friendship, you're either going to be the one that influences them or they're going to influence you. Mm. And so years ago, I had this friend of mine, we'd go out to lunch. She would talk bad about her husband the entire time. Mm. And I would leave that lunch and I would be mad at my husband, even though he didn't do anything wrong. So the power of influence is huge. I would leave frustrated with him. He didn't even know what happened. Mm-hmm. And so what I found is that in that particular relationship, she was influencing me. I was not strong enough at that point in my life mm-hmm. to be a better influence to her. So I actually had to cut that relationship off because it was negatively affecting not just me, but my marriage. Mm-hmm. And so now, years later, I now know if we were to go to lunch, it would be a much different scenario. But where I was at in the process then, she would have the ability to influence me. And so I believe the power of godly relationships is, like you said, it's absolutely vital. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that we need our three. And so even at the church, I talk to the staff often about who's your three. Mm-hmm. And what that means is I believe there's three different either people or groups that we need in our life. And I say people because maybe you're just starting with just one in each of those three areas. And that's great. We've got to start somewhere. But those three areas are, we have to have, first of all, we have to have a mentor, a coach, or someone who is a little bit further ahead of where we're at so that they can pour into us. And it's got to be somebody that we're willing to receive from. So mm-hmm. if somebody shares, you know, some correction with you in a loving way, it's got to be somebody that you're willing to look at yourself and say, oh, okay, you know what? They have my best interest in mind. They love me. So I'm going to take what they say and actually learn and then try to get better in that area. So that first person is that mentor, that coach. I actually now have a few in different areas of my life. So I have someone I reach out to for spiritual mentorship. I have someone for ministry, and then I have someone for personal. Because that personal one is somebody who's around me often and can see things that maybe I don't see mm-hmm. that I need to have called out on. But then that second group or person is that friend, somebody you can just be silly with, be yourself. You're not necessarily learning or giving anything away. You're just hanging out and just enjoying some different aspects of life. Because I believe God wants us to have fun. Mm-hmm. And then that third is that person or that group of people that you're able to pour back into. Because if we're just receiving all of the time and we're just being poured into all of the time, then we're just stuffed and we're full and it's just information that's not going anywhere. And so mm-hmm. I believe we're supposed to pour out what's been given to us. And so really looking for people that are newer to the faith than you are, or people that need a hand in part of the process and really guiding them along the way and discipling them and helping them. And I found that if I have someone or more than one person in each of those areas, it keeps me very well-rounded. Mm-hmm. It keeps me very focused, disciplined. It keeps me very accountable, especially the ones that I'm pouring into. Because if I'm teaching or sharing something with someone that I'm pouring into, I know that I want my life to be representing that. So that's probably even a greater level of accountability for me.
Wow.
So those three areas for me have been a big game changer in my life.
I like that a lot. That is very practical and tangible. What about, are there any specific devotionals or like, let's get, you know what I'm like, the tools of it and even like a particular Bible translation or how do I say that?
Yeah. The translations.
The translations. Yeah. Yeah. Or do you recommend somebody like reading, finding, because I like, there are plans and that's what I start and I still do mm-hmm. them today. But what I really started out with years ago was the plans on the Bible app, which I love because there's so many categories of them. So yeah, let's say the woman listening wants to start making like a little everyday plan and going back to that. Oh my gosh, what is the word you said? Discipline and really structuring her day out. So what could she do with that? Is there a devotional you recommend?
I think there's different facets based on the types of learners that we are. So I'll start with the Bible first. So the different Bible translations, it does matter based on what kind of a learner you are. So New King James for me has language that's a little bit harder for me to understand. For somebody who's new, I would not start with a King James or New King James version. I would start with something like the New Living Translation or the New International Version. And so they go by the letters like the NLT, the NIV. And those ones are more thought for, or the NIV, I believe, is word for word, whereas the NLT is a thought for thought translation. And so the different translations do matter. And I feel like you'll get some different glimpses of the meaning of the scripture based on the translation. So what I do is I typically will have two translations that I'll read the same verse or verses from so that I can get a deeper understanding of it. So right now, my favorite is I'm loving the ESV. That's a more of a word for word translation. So that's going to be a closer representation of like the King James Bible. But as long as it's a Christ-centered, biblically based Bible, that's going to be the most critical, because there are other religions that have, you know, put in their own books, removed books. They have their own books. So it's got to be a Christ-centered Bible for sure. And then when it comes to there's two different apps that I love. The one you mentioned, the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app, because of all the plans that are on it are phenomenal.
Yeah, they are.
And you can do it with friends. So yes, you can invite friends to do it. You can comment on there. So it's very interactive and engaging. So that's been a beautiful tool. And then a tool in regards to if somebody is learning how to pray, there's an app that Church of the Highlands puts out, and it's called Pray First. And in the particular app, we have on our church website, we have a lot of the same resources. They've just taken it and put it into an app form. And what I love about this app is because not only do they give you the tools of the different kinds of prayers that you can pray, but they also give you a guided section where you can click on the audio and someone will actually guide you through. Okay, and now this is when you're going to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. So this would be time where you're just giving God thanks for the things he's done in your life. And then there's some music playing in the background. And it gives you, you know, a few moments to do that. And it takes you step by step through it. So I absolutely love that app. It's been beautiful for people that are newer to learning to pray.
I haven't heard of that one. I'm going to look at that app.
It's great. You're going to love it because it has different prayers that like the tabernacle prayers in there. So people are like, what does that even mean? That's something from the Old Testament. And it's a beautiful tool on how to pray, and it walks you right through it. So that's been a great app. I follow people on Instagram that have a lot of encouragement. So that's one area that I'll glean from. There's Dr. Caroline Leaf. She is phenomenal. So if you've been somebody who's maybe a little bit further along in the process, she's a Christian, but she's a neuroscientist as well. And she really talks about our mind and how to renew our mind and our thoughts. So there are so many between books and Audible nowadays. But I would say this to somebody that is new: I would not go out there and just do random searches on your own. I would actually get with someone who you believe to be a godly believer that's solid in their faith, because there's can be a lot of weird stuff out there too.
You're right. Good. I'm glad you said that, because actually that's, and I'll do a whole other episode on this, but like I said, even though I grew up with faith as our foundation, I got misled into things that I genuinely did not know were not Christ-like. And I just got freed from those this year. So that was like decades of wrong teachings that I generally didn't know. So it can get, the enemy can work in those ways and try to say, well, this looks appetizing and it could be deceiving. So I'm glad you covered that. And so definitely find someone who you trust and has that foundation. And I was curious, something that I've been, cause I like to do the same thing of like reading a scripture in two different translations. It helps a lot. And one that I've discovered is the Passion Translation,
which
I'm loving because it's so beautiful. It's so just like real and like just like a more everyday talk sort of thing. So I've been doing that. I actually want to get a new Bible of that, but, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they've only done the New Testament of that one. Is that true?
They now have some of the Old Testament books done of it. I believe they have like Isaiah's done, Proverbs, Psalms. There may be a few others. It's been a little bit since I've checked, but I know there are some in the Old Testament, but you're right. It is beautiful. It's so rich.
Yes. And I feel like I'm like actually understanding every word.
That's great.
Yes. So I just wanted to share that. But anyway, this has been so helpful. Like, I'm really happy we did this, and this was everything I could have, actually more than I could have imagined, honestly. And I feel like Holy Spirit definitely led that.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, so, we'll pray first. That's what he does.
Right.
He shows up.
Yes. So if you could just close out with, well, we'll close out with prayer, of course, but also if there's just any last little piece of advice, words of encouragement, anything that you'd like to give.
I would say that don't wait until you have everything figured out to give it away. Hmm. So if you're learning something and, you know, God continues to show you an area of your life and you're getting stronger in, and you see someone else struggling with it, give them some words of encouragement in that as well. Because if we're waiting until we understand the entire Bible and have every scripture memorized, or we're expert level in every area, then we are going to continually disqualify ourselves. And we have so much to share. There's so many experiences that anyone listening to, I'm sure, has been through, that they're on the other side of it, where even sharing those experiences with other people gives them so much hope. So I just say, start giving away what God has already taught you, because there's so much personal growth that comes out of it, that you'll be blown away, that you will be blessed more giving away than you could ever imagine. You'll be more blessed than the people receiving from you. It's crazy how that works.
It is. Yes. That's so beautiful. Thank you. And yeah, because sometimes we think we have to be healed from those bad habits before we can do something good. So God just accepts us as we are, and he wants the best for us.
He does. And it's like a peeling layers of an onion. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll peel one layer at a time in his grace for what we're ready for. So as he does, continue to share that in his goodness and make sure he gets the glory for it.
Right. All right. If you could just close with prayer.
Absolutely. So Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity today to share your words, to encourage one another, Father, with the things that you have taught us. And Father, we pray for everyone listening in this very moment, Holy Spirit, that you will move in their lives like never before, that you will reveal those areas in their life that potentially need greater discipline or greater intimacy with you, Father. And we just thank you for moving in a way that only you can do, that you're so gentle and gracious, and that this is never from a place of condemning or judgment, but just, Father, you wanting to take them higher in your ways and to show them more of you. And so, Father, I pray that every single person listening will have a next step that will come to mind. And Father, even if it's not the right one that it seems to be when it starts out, Father, but that you will guide them and direct them and strengthen them in your power and in your spirit, so that they can be effective for your kingdom. So Father, I thank you that you will increase our desire to know you more, so that we can continue to just lift our lives up before you from a place of surrender and complete and total trust that you are moving on behalf of our lives, Father, our situations, because you are a good God all the time. And so, Father, stir up the gifts that are inside of us. Use us for your kingdom, for your glory, Lord. We praise you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Selena, for having me on today. I so value you and how you're sharing his word with so many people, and you're really making a difference. So thank you.
Thank you. That brought tears to my eyes. I'm so sappy. Thank you so much. No, honestly, like, I am... this is everything. This brings me pure joy to, like, I have such a heart for women and just girl chats and just that woman community. And of course, with God in the center of it all. So this is exactly, like I said, more than I could have imagined. So thank you so much. And I just feel it, like, in my heart that this is healing somebody more than just one. Yeah.
We need each other. So yeah. He's called us to empower one another through His Holy Spirit. It's an honor.
That concludes today's episode on GGTL. I hope you learned just as much as I did through today's conversation. And if there are any topics you want covered for the season of life that you may be in, please feel free to send me a message and we'll cover that. I want you to think of this show as our show, and we are in this together. I want us to be friends, I mean that. And if you want to follow me on my journey, go ahead and follow me on Instagram. The tags will all be in the show notes. Be sure to subscribe to the show so that way you are up to date with all of our conversations and guests. And with that being said, I'll talk to you in the next one. Take care.